Hi, I'm Jayant Sriram and welcome to In Focus, the Hindu's analysis podcast. Thanks for joining us. Today's episode is a news update on an issue that has perhaps lost a bit of urgency in the news cycle lately, but nonetheless remains very pressing and very important. It's on the actual state of disengagement of troops along the line of actual control with China and what the situation is on the ground. So it's been a few weeks now since the disengagement of troops was announced. Government and military sources at the time were quick to declare that Chinese troops had pulled back and retreated. But the news that has followed in bits and pieces since has indicated quite clearly that the situation on the ground is a lot more complicated. There are in fact many areas where Chinese troops have not pulled back as much as India would have hoped for, and that generally that this is now going to be a very long process of negotiation. This week we'll see yet another round of commander level talks, and as my two guests today will stress, this has now become a circular kind of exercise with no actual timelines for anything being discussed. Those guests are two of the Hindu's top reporters on these issues. Dinakar Perry is our defense reporter, and Vijayta Singh covers the Home Ministry and National Security. Dinakar Perry and Vijayta Singh, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jayant.
Thank you.
Right. So, I guess the big question to kind of lay out the subject and what we're talking about today is that another round of commander level talks are going to happen this week. So, given that we're going to be discussing the current state of disengagement on the ground, there has been some new information that's come out over the past week or so. What do we expect is going to be on the agenda for the talks this week? Maybe Dinakar, you can take it first and then we'll move to Vijayta.
Okay, so as you said, the fifth round of core commander talks are expected to happen this week. We already had three rounds in June, one in July, on July 14th, the last one, where, both sides have been discussing the process of disengagement. The first phase of disengagement has happened partially, not fully, so that's where we are now stuck in a way. And because of which, the second phase has not commenced, so the last round of which went on for 15 hours on July 14th, has not been able to break the impasse in the issue. So this round is expected to take that forward. And this round was actually agreed upon last week at the WMCC working mechanism between the two countries for the border issues, where they said we'll hold another round of talks and see to, take forward the process of disengagement. That's where we are, in terms of the ground situation.
Yeah. So look, Vijayta, it's been about 2 weeks since the disengagement itself was announced. It was a fairly sort of big announcement, if you like. And since then, I think the news reports have trickled in, which suggest that the situation is rather more complicated than one might have first imagined, in the sense that there hasn't really been that process, engaged with properly by the Chinese side. So what's the situation really on the ground? What is the current status of disengagement?
So that's right. The entire process of disengagement with the Chinese troops is quite complicated as of now, because the talks have been going on since June 6th. And after every round of talk, we are seeing the talks are escalating to the next level, like diplomatic level. Then it comes back to the military level. So there is a circle is going on, but not much has changed on the ground. In Galwan Valley, there are 4 to 5 friction points in eastern Ladakh along the LSE. So in Galwan Valley, which was the site of the deadly clashes which took place between the Indian Army and the Chinese troops on June 15th, in which 20 soldiers were killed. So at that point, the disengagement is more or less complete. But as far as other areas are concerned, such as Pangong So, the finger area, which we say, and the hot springs, the Gogra hot springs. This de-escalation and disengagement has not been up to the expectation of the Indian troops, because both sides were to pull back. But China is still very much within the India's perception of the line of actual control. So this is where the stalemate lies. And this is why more level of talks are required to end the impasse at as Dinkar just said.
Right. So, Dinakar, like, what is the position now of the army? Do they still consider it, is this still considered a troublesome situation? Do they see some sort of resolution to this?
Yes, yeah, see, on that note, I mean, the army is preparing for long haul. I mean, you're already at the end of July and now, you know, winters will start coming in the high altitude. So, given the way things are going, it doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. The fact is, Galwan and other places, say, in Gogra Hot Springs, they are more shallow ingress. The bigger issue is Pengong So, where Chinese troops have moved in 8 kilometers. The finger 4, where our claim is as per the alignment of the line of actual control. Now they are at finger 4, sorry, finger 8, where our claim is, and now Chinese troops are at finger 4. And even there, the disengagement has been very minimal. I mean, it's only been partial in the sense they have moved back from the base of finger 4 to finger 5, but they're still sitting, you know, they occupied the ridge lines, where they thinned down their presence during the process of disengagement a few weeks back, but still hold the higher grounds, higher ground on the finger 4, overlooking the Indian positions. And for India, the restoration of status quo ante, as India has been stressing since the beginning of the talks, is the priority. And for that to happen, you know, we have a long way to go. And that, I mean, the way things are going doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon, given the way Chinese are, you know, moving back and forth on this issue.
Right. Vijayata, would you agree that, this is basically going to be a pretty long haul issue?
Yes, exactly. This is what we have gathered after talking to multiple officials in the government. All of them maintain that this is going to be a long haul, and they're preparing their stocks and the winter stocks and everything. Because this issue is almost two and a half months now, because Chinese have been amassing troops since April. So if we count April, May, June, July, it's almost 4 months. It's more than what the situation was in Doklam in 2017. So there is a very strong belief in the government and in the security establishment that this situation is not going to ease out so easily. And so they are of course preparing for the long haul. And this requires a permanent and a more determined solution. This cannot be left to the military commanders on the ground. This has to be solved diplomatically.
Right. And I'm just curious about how the security establishment in particular and the government also might kind of tailor their communication around this issue as it's progressing now. Because just a couple of weeks ago, they were pretty optimistic about it, upbeat even. And now, as you say, we do at this point, at the start of this week, we know that the situation is getting more and more complicated. Is there any kind of way in which they might change their communication around it?
So, from the army and, you know, the army's end, one, it's clear. I mean, this was something which was being thought of. Now it looks very clear it will go into the winters. I mean, this is something, I mean, as we speak, the winter stocking is happening. I mean, winter stocking is normally an elaborate process which happens on the high altitude ridges, not just in the eastern sector, but also on Siachen and other places, which they plan for the summers to be prepared for the winters, for 6 months of winters when they are cut off. And now supporting more than three plus divisions entirely, you know, on the eastern sector, say in eastern Ladakh alone, that's a huge challenge. And that's happening right now, I mean, as we speak. It's a given, it's underway. That apart, you know, there are other challenges also to, you know, rotation of troops and so on and so forth, then planning their leaves, and, you know, the entire logistical and administrative challenge is a huge thing, apart from the strategic ramifications of, you know, Chinese presence on the border. That's one. The other thing is, given that's the case, one thing is, in fact, just last week, the Army Command, Northern Army Commander General Joshi has said, we are prepared for the long army. He actually indicated that. He did not give a timeline of the pullback. He was non-committal on the timeline. The sentence he said was, we are pushing for status quo ante on the LAC. But on the timeline, he said, it depends on the commitments on the both sides. There are certain commitments on both sides, and the timelines of the ending standoff depends on that. And similar statement was made by Defense Minister Rajnath Singh also, where he said, we want a resolution through diplomatic channels, but I can't guarantee on when it will end or how it will end. So there is certain realization in the establishment that it's going to be they have to be prepared for it, and that's probably is the reality right now. Despite the different rounds of talks, And one other thing on this is at some level there is a feeling that this should now go to a higher diplomatic and political level, because the direction should come from there, because military rounds have seen so many rounds of ground level military commander level talks, then four rounds of core commander level talks, then three rounds of the WMCC talks. Still we are really right. Nowhere to ending the impasse.
Yeah, and Vijayata, if you just want to take it from there, what is your perspective from the sources that you've spoken to about just the communication around this issue?
I agree with Dinkar. This solution has to come from the higher levels of the government. This cannot be left to the commanders on the ground. And as far as communication from the government is concerned, initially they were in a denial mode. Whole of May and till early June, till the time Galwan happened, the clashes happened, the government was not really coming out with details. The Prime Minister even went on to say that nobody has ingressed into the Indian territory. But those claims were belied after the Galwan incident. And there were so many independent satellite imageries which surfaced, which clearly showed the extent of Chinese incursion into the Indian territory. China claims that they are well within their perception of what they claim is a Chinese claim line. But India has traditionally patrolled and foot-patrolled up to areas where China is now holding positions. And the current situation has also been complicated by the fact that both the sides have agreed to not patrol the disputed areas where they were earlier engaged in eyeball-to-eyeball confrontation. So the verification of these spots, if the Chinese have gone back or not, has also become very difficult because of the terrain and because of other factors. And because the two sides, they do not want any kind of flare-up, any kind of incident to happen while both the sides are either withdrawing or if they happen to patrol these areas. So I will give you an example of Hot Springs, which is one of the face-off sites. So in Hot Springs, it was decided that India will also pull back few kilometers and China will also pull back few kilometers so that they are not in an eyeball-to-eyeball confrontation. So the distance between the two sides came around. They created what we call a buffer zone, which government is hesitant to use the phrase, but they're saying a 3 to 4 kilometer distance between the two sides so that they're apart. But on a second verification, it was found that the Chinese are still within 1.5 kilometers of the Indian perception of the LAC. So while India went back from its territory to its to further behind, the Chinese are still well within Indian territory. So these are the issues that have to be sorted and that have to be resolved immediately. Otherwise, this can lead to permanent positions by the Chinese army within Indian territory. Yeah, so this is one of the concern within the security establishment, because they keep looking to towards Delhi for instructions and for the way forward.
Right. From what you're describing and what Dinakar is also saying, it does give the impression that left at that level, the army seems to be getting a little played, if you like, by the Chinese side. In the sense that, they do something in good faith and it's not reciprocated. Is there a sense that the commander level talks are only going so far and that level and they might lose faith in that process sometime soon, Dinakar?
Yes, I mean, it certainly seems, no one is saying it probably in that terms, but it definitely seems to be the case, because we see the first phase of disengagement which began. It began after the conversation at the special representative level. Between the NSA and his Chinese counterpart. I mean, even after the talks on the June 30th, the special representatives had to pick up the phone and have a conversation for the process to begin. And even this limited disengagement, what happened now was a result of that, conversation. Now again, we are stopped here. So it essentially shows that, it needs a higher level push to get things going. And military commanders can only push things so much. It is a higher level intervention for, because this issue is much broader. This is not one. We should remember that this is not a typical standoff which had happened in the past, which were localized standoffs, where Chushul, Chumur, DBO, all those, they were all localized standoffs over a certain issue because of a certain road, a certain construction, you know, one side sat there, you know, and then there was standoff, it was resolved as both agreed on certain ground measures and then they pulled back, even in Doklam. We were just, because China was building a road, our troops went and sat there when we resolved it. This is actually much broader. I mean, it's a bigger, larger design, as you can see. It's a huge mobilization. And not to forget the fact, apart from the Chinese ingress in those standoff areas, there's also a huge mobilization along the LAC. There are a few divisions, you know, 40,000 plus troops amassed along the entire LAC, not just in Ladakh, but also in other places. Not just troops, artillery, armored, their air defenses, their aviation, their air force is active, close to the border, doing their maneuvers. So it's a full-fledged mobilization. So disengagement from the standoff sites is only the first step. We still have to discuss the sequential pullback of the entire troops along the LAC and move back to pre-May positions. So it's going to take quite some time to accomplish that. Until then, we can't pull back our own troops.
Right, yeah. Yeah, no, I was going to come to some slightly broader, more future-looking questions, if you like. But, you know, what are the prospects of, at this moment, what are the prospects of a complete return to status quo? Vijayata, if you want to just have a venture there, how far away does that look at the moment?
So, as we mentioned earlier, there is no timeline to it. And nobody knows what will play out in the future. Because every round of military core commander level talk is followed by another round of WMCC talk. So this is kind of a circle which is going on and on. And the Chinese, as Dinkar rightly said, it was a coordinated build-up all along LAC since April. So it was not only in one sector. They, in a planned and a coordinated manner, the Chinese troops, they build up their presence all along the LAC. So it was not only a particular sector which was affected. So the intention behind this act, it's not clear yet, because in the middle of the pandemic, in the COVID pandemic, this happens, and Indian government had to move troops further till the LAC to match presence with the Chinese. So we do not know as of now when this situation would ease. Definitely there has been a lot of improvement on the ground if you compare the situation since, June when the Galwan incident happened. Of course, those kind of incidents are not happening anymore. So in a way, we can say that the situation has eased a bit. But this requires a permanent solution. And since the border is undefined, it leads to a lot of gaps and it leads to a lot of confusion on the ground between the commanders also. So, as we mentioned earlier, the solution has to come at the diplomatic and the political level.
Right. So, just again, maybe we can end on this note. What are the likely options going forward for India? And do we know anything about what the strategy is likely to be? Dinakar?
Yeah. So, there are diplomatic, political, I mean, the dialogue process through which attempts are on to resolve. But there's also, obviously, there's a military aspect to it, as in employing the military aspect, yeah, trying to push them out. But at this stage, while the army is fully amassed and, you know, they are fully deployed and ready for any eventuality, so to say, at the moment, it doesn't seem that India is going to, you know, think in, on those lines. I mean, the effort is all effort is on to find a diplomatic resolution and resolve the issue through dialogue. And on that front, it looks like it's going to be take quite some time. I mean, more than even anticipated to the beginning of winter, probably it will go much longer than that. So that is actually the question as to how long it is. I mean, as Vijita also said, there's no clear-cut timeline or anything on the horizon to speculate. But thing is, winter is going to pose a challenge for both sides. So will that kind of put any pressure and, you know, bring the two sides to fasten the resolution process? We'll have to wait and watch, because it is going to be a challenge to maintain these number of troops for both sides at 14,000 to 18,000 feet. I mean, Indian Army has been used to this in different ways and because of holding different theaters where we are present. But Chinese side is not, they are not traditionally not present in such forward areas in such large numbers. They don't. They normally sit in the depth. They just patrol and go back. That's their pattern of doing things. Even in Doklam, that was the case. After Doklam, they actually maintained more permanent presence, forward presence. So here, we'll have to, but Chennai side again has better infrastructure, say in terms of roads and things, but they're not as used to maintaining troops in the forward areas in such large numbers and in depth areas. So each side has its own challenges, plus and minus. So will the weather be able to bring, speed up the process? We'll have to wait and watch. Otherwise, there's no clarity on how things will shape up in a few months from now.
Right. And Vijayatha, just to end, can I just get your inputs on what is the likely strategy? What is the kind of thinking within the security establishment?
So they have decided to go with the flow. I mean, what else can they do? So as I mentioned earlier, every WMCC meeting is followed by a core commander level talk. And in every talks, they have made certain progress. It's not that nothing has been done on the ground. You mentioned about Galwan. So Galwan, the disengagement process is complete. And the other thing which takes a lot of time is verification on the ground, because you cannot foot patrol. The two sides have decided. So verifying on the ground if the Chinese have moved back from their earlier position. And so that takes a lot of time. So these are the issues army is currently facing on the ground. And yes, added to it, the terrain. The terrain is very difficult. It's rugged. There are sub-zero temperatures. Especially with winter approaching, it's not going to be easy for both India and China to maintain troops at such an altitude.
Right. So on that note, I think we'll end this news update. Thank you so much, both of you, for joining me. I think we'll catch up soon to get another update as this issue progresses.
Thank you, Jayant.